Winds picking up in northern Arizona.
We've alerted people to the possibility of some hazardous crosswinds, localized areas of blowing dust. We haven't had any reports yet, but it is possible.
City of Phoenix stepping up efforts to help the homeless.
Mayor Greg Stanton announcing a new homeless initiative, making permanent housing the number one priority. In its wake, a new housing complex will be developed to give a home to 200 chronically homeless people, the nod being given to the most vulnerable.
Two Prescott middle school students recovering. They were intentionally burnt with hot glue and a glue gun by a fellow classmate.
He's already wearing an ankle bracelet for crimes committed as a juvenile, so he's got some issues for sure.
Pima County Sheriff's deputies arrest a caregiver at an assisted living home for stealing items from an 86-year-old resident.
We have other cases where, you know, they're financially taken advantage of or things along those lines, again, which is not only regrettable, but it's despicable.
George Tatter, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of Valley Metro, 4 o'clock hour. We still have that accident off to the side, northbound I-17 near New River. It is reported as a rollover. Also look for a fender bender, 19th Avenue at Bell Road. And look for another wreck, eastbound US 60 at Country Club. Pedal your way to health and evolve your commute by biking. Learn more benefits at bikingwithvalleymetro.org. That's valleymetro.org. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Hi, everybody. Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Everybody out enjoying this beautiful weather. We got the coolness now, mid to upper 80s through the end of the work week. Overnight lows, pretty chilly. Low 60s here in town, low 50s in our cooler valley spots. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we are at 81 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Tired of hearing what's wrong with America? Let me tell you what's right in just two words: small business. It sounds like a cliche, but small business really is the engine that drives America's economy. Not only does small business represent 95% of all businesses, it employs the majority of Americans, and it creates most of the new jobs. But the small business engine has stalled. To get America moving again, we need candidates who support small business. Here in Arizona, that's Jeff Flake. Flake is committed to simplifying and reducing taxes on small business, slashing unnecessary federal regulations, and reducing the out-of-control federal deficit. That's why Jeff Flake has earned our A rating as a true champion of small business. Whether you work for or own a small business, it's now up to you. Vote Jeff Flake for U.S. Senate. Small businessmen and women proudly paid for this message. Our name is what we believe.
Trust in Small Business PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.trustinsmallbusiness.org.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Welcome to the Legalese. This is actually Jack Willinchek taking over from Dennis, who's on vacation. And today we're very proud to present to you, our listening audience, a series of candidates who are currently running for office. We're going to get the show started talking to Paul Penzone, who's running for Maricopa County Sheriff, which, as we all know, is a job that's currently taken by Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Paul, are you on the line?
I am, Jack. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. First of all, did I pronounce your name right? Is it Paul Penzone?
That is correct, yes.
Is that an Italian name?
It is, and in Italy they probably would say Penzone, but here we say Penzone.
Yeah, say Penzone. So I guess, at least in that respect, you're like Joe Arpaio. He's got a good Italian name, too.
We do share that. That's one thing we share in common, yes.
All right, well, why don't you tell the listeners about the many things that you don't share in common with Joe Arpaio?
Well, you know, I have known the sheriff for a long time, and every time I speak, I'm very clear about this. I wish him no ill will. I don't want to be disrespectful to him as a man. But in law enforcement, we have a different attitude about what it means to be a leader in law enforcement. For me, I am committed to just being fundamentally sound, understanding the needs of your community. You have to be fiscally responsible. Fiscal responsibility comes with all elements. It means that you're reducing lawsuits. It means you're spending dollars in the manner that they've been allocated to you for public safety. That means that you're not attached to gimmicks that ultimately cost taxpayer dollars either through lawsuits or through just poor practices. But at the end of the day, I take law enforcement very serious, public safety. We should not be people who are trying to get out front and be the center of attention. We should be the that strong force that's behind the community to keep you safe, but to give you the opportunity to enjoy your life without being the center of attention.
So I take it if you become sheriff, we're not going to be seeing more pink underwear and that kind of thing.
No, and you know, I look at that, and I understood at the time it had kind of a marketing element to it for some reason, or the benefit is, I don't know. But ultimately, it does not do two things that are important. It does not deter or change behaviors, and it does not do anything to save us dollars. There's no fiscal benefit to it. Therefore, I don't think it's serious law enforcement. I don't think it's a necessary tool that we should be proud of on any level.
All right, well, what about Tent City? Because that is one of those things that the sheriff does claim saves the county a lot of money. What do you think about Tent City?
I think we're challenged with Tent City. It was a temporary response to a permanent need. We know that there is a jail fund of tax dollars that are supposed to be specifically allocated to enhancing the detention centers, to improving the services, and then additionally building them out so that you can house the inmate population. There was nearly $100 million that was misappropriated and spent in ways other than to improve the jail services. So that money is gone. That taxpayer money is gone. So now we have a tent that we are obligated to keep because we have to house inmates somewhere. I'm not going to let them run free. But the conditions and the culture within a tent are the problem. We cannot be abusive in any manner. We can't be inhumane. We can't have people living in conditions that pose a threat to their health. And I'm not saying it should be more comfortable inside than out. I understand people want to make the argument that, well, living in there would deter you from coming back to jail. At the same time, we have a responsibility to keep people safe and healthy, so we have to clean it up and run it the right way. And in the short term, we're stuck with it. Long term, I'd like to see, you know, less, we'd like to see the recidivism rate drop, so we have less inmates, so there's no need for a tent.
Right. Basically, you're saying you'd like to get rid of it, but you can't.
That is a summary. Forgive me for going too long with that answer, but you're correct.
Hey, no, we got time. That's the great thing about talk radio. We got time to talk. You know, I do see that you're big on prosecuting or, I guess, arresting people who are abusing animals. I mean, that's also something that Joe Arpaio is well known for. So I take it that is one more thing that the two of you share.
Well, my history with those issues goes back quite a ways. Almost, I believe, about 10 years when I was a silent witness. We were the first organization in the nation to partner with the Humane Society in offering rewards for crimes against animals. And in addition to that, I actually moderated a training tape that was distributed statewide for law enforcement explaining our responsibility. And here's the importance behind it. First and foremost, we need to care about our animal friends. We need to care about everyone in our community and our society. But additionally, there is a direct link between violence perpetrated against animals and the progression where it's carried out against humans. Serial killers began as animal abusers, and we had a case here. The serial shooters, the snipers, who began by shooting livestock and then horses and then homeless people and then anyone on the side of the road. So we have to address that as a serious problem. I myself, I have four dogs. I care about animals. I care about the entire community, but we have to be balanced in our efforts. We can't focus on that and then neglect other areas like children.
Yeah, why don't you talk about that a little bit? I know that's a big issue for the department. Go ahead.
No, please forgive me.
Well, there's been a lot of issues with CPS, and the sheriff's office has to have a certain relationship with CPS. So why don't you talk about what you would do that the sheriff now is not doing on that front?
Well, when I was with the police department, I developed some programs where we specifically targeted sex offenders and pedophiles. Children are our most precious asset. I say that often because it's true, and we need to do a better job of protecting them. When I retired, I went on to become the vice president of Child Help, which is a national nonprofit that cares for child victims. CPS is an organization that is critical to the safety of children, and oftentimes they're overwhelmed. So we have to enhance that relationship so that we are supporting their needs, that we're finding a way to ensure that cases never fall through the cracks, and that it's a part of, that the process includes education as much as enforcement. You know, there are situations where if we're doing a better job of monitoring or providing education for parents to deal with circumstances, we can reduce violence. Sexual crimes against children, we can never, ever tolerate that those investigations are mishandled or neglected. We have to recognize that pedophiles, repeat offenders, who have multiple victims in every case that we fail on means that there are going to be additional victims that we can't serve or we can't prevent those crimes.
Are you running as a Democrat or an independent?
I'm running as a Democrat. My history in politics, if you want to call it, because I never had a history, was as an independent. I've been an independent the majority of my adult life. But for this pursuit, the office is too big to try to run as independent. You need to have a support system to kind of give you that foundation to be established. But for me, I'm a nonpartisan person. I'm about public safety. And I don't engage in legislation or issues related to other candidates. I stay focused on public safety.
Well, as we all know, Sheriff Joe makes, you know, immigration enforcement a big priority. Would that be a big priority for you, too?
Well, crime is a big priority for me. It is a priority. But the difference between the sheriff and I is this. My success in law enforcement was that I worked on a federal task force and in narcotics where we focused at the highest level on organizations that are responsible for crime. Human trafficking isn't considerably different. We have a problem with human trafficking, drug smuggling, and human slavery. And a lot of the perpetrators of those crimes are the same people. So for me, I'm going to focus a higher scale. I think that it is ineffective. I think that it is sensational. I think the poor use of resources when you send considerable amount of manpower staffing to a restaurant to arrest the cooks or two maids. We don't need a SWAT team for that. We can handle those investigations in a professional manner with people who are, with a handful of detectives or less who are behaving in a professional fashion without this excessive force. I want to focus on organizations that pose the greatest threat to our safety, and that's a much higher scale than the sheriff has ever focused.
All right, we got just a couple minutes here before the break, so why don't you, I'll give you the opportunity to just tell our listeners the rest of the reasons why they should pick you instead of our long-serving sheriff.
Well, for me, this was not a pursuit that I ever expected. And again, as I stated earlier, I am not disrespectful to the sheriff. I thank him for his service. But ultimately, public safety, law enforcement is a very serious business. And you need someone who is focused every day on understanding the issues that affect our broad community. It's a big county with a lot of different issues. And you have to have an understanding of the needs of each culture, how to serve those needs, because ultimately we're tied together when it comes to safety. Fiscal irresponsibility, neglecting crimes, responding by saying you weren't aware or you didn't know are never acceptable things for a leader in that capacity. It's time for us to recognize and say thank you for your service. We have to have a person who is committed to safety, who has a track record of delivering in public safety and in law enforcement, and who we know cares about our community on a higher scale. It's not only about enforcing the laws and stopping crime, it's about building a community for a healthy direction. And right now, we're not that community, but we can be. So the potential is there, and I just ask everybody to look at my career because my history speaks of my future.
All right. Thank you for saying that. Is there going to be a debate of any kind between you and the sheriff coming up in the future?
Well, there should be, but the sheriff's unwilling to debate me, and although he uses, he tries to spin that conversation or use excuses, ultimately, he owes it to the voters to stand next to me, to answer to his failures, to talk about what he would do to the organization if he were to continue on, because I would do the same thing. He's criticized me. He should be able to say directly to me so I can respond. My criticisms of him, I would say directly to him, but he's unwilling to debate me because he understands there's too much contrast that's going to hurt his opportunity to try to be reelected. And it's a shame because he owes it to the voters.
All right. All right, I want to thank our guest. That was Paul Pinzone, who's running for Maricopa County Sheriff against Sheriff Joe Pyle. Thanks for coming on the show, Paul.
Hey, thank you, Jack. Have a great day, sir.
This is Jack Wilenchek on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Student and teacher of dance for more than 20 years, JAD's mission is to create a rich learning environment for the advancement of an art that can transform people's lives. Visit dancewithchad.com today and choose the dance class that best suits your lifestyle. Email us today. That's chad@dancewithchad.com. If you have a desire to learn how to dance and have an open mind, Chad can teach anyone, anywhere, anytime. Log on today. That's dancewithchad.com.
Since 1980, Information Methods Incorporated has been a leader in technology consulting. The management experience of IMI's Prime Consultants and Associates includes years of expertise in both public and private sectors. From assigning a project management officer to a complete end-of-project postmortem, IMI applies industry standards and our own custom methodologies to ensure your next technology project is a success. For details and example solutions, visit www.imi-us.com. We measure our success by your success. Your partner, IMI.
Thinking about remodeling your home or investment property? This is Jason James of Jason James Development. I'm a quality contractor that understands the need to do the job right. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Jason James Development combines experience and expertise along with the latest technology to provide you with a quality finished product. With Jason James Development, you get a professional home remodel and renovation services designed specifically for you. Experience the difference with Jason James Development. Our goal is customer satisfaction each and every time, providing remarkable repair and remodeling services for your home or investment property. Call 480-686-5276. That's 480-686-5276. Or go online at jasonjamesdevelopment.com. That's jasonjamesdevelopment.com. It's all about the journey at Jason James Development. 480-686-5276.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilenchek filling in for Dennis Wilenchek. And as I promised you at the beginning of the show, we will be talking to a series of candidates for office all over the great state of Arizona. For the next segment, we're going to be talking to Sarah Coleman, who's running for state senate in District 27. Now, before I get started, I have to confess, I actually live in District 27, and I know Sarah. I've been to the District 27 Republican meeting, so this is not going to be an unbiased interview by any means. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jack. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I feel bad. I haven't been able to make all the meetings to pack flyers and stuff and go walking door to door. You know, I'm a busy man. I got to do this radio stuff, so I haven't been able to help you out there.
Well, everybody has their day job. The only way you can contribute to the party, right?
Absolutely. All right. So, well, let me ask you. Let's talk about your background a little bit. What is your day job?
My day job, my husband and I, we have a small consulting firm, mainly state of Arizona and county of Maricopa, and sometimes the city of Phoenix are our main clients. It's just technology consulting services.
And you're running for state senate, which, as both you and I know, is not going to be easy. You're running against an incumbent, and it's a pretty Democratic district. Why don't you explain to the listeners what district LD 27 is?
LD 27, we're calling it the South Mountain District because it just kind of covers the whole area. We're from about Tempe, right along the I-10 border, down to, I think it's 67th Avenue is the new border,
yeah.
And then we go from about I-17 to the mountain. It's generally our area. There's a little cutout in there that's new around the river, but I'm not sure which part we're missing. And we are about 4-1. Democrat to Republican. Even if you add in all the independents, we're still completely outnumbered by the Democrats. And my opponent is, I didn't realize this when I started. I knew that she was a 12-year veteran of the legislature, but it's also her father was a senator and a House rep for about 20 years, as well as her grandfather. So I'm running against an entire legacy.
Well, speaking of running against the legacy, or running a legacy, I guess, I know that your husband is running for office too, right?
Yes, he's running for House rep.
Yeah, in the same district.
Uh-huh, same district. This is his second time running. I talked him into running in 2006, because we had just started dating. We'd only been dating for about 2 months, and listening to him sitting around the dinner table pontificate, or as he likes to say, pontificate, about everything, I said, well, it's time for you to put your money where your mouth is.
What a terrible thing to do to somebody, to make them run for office.
I know. I told him. And so I went down, and I registered for him for office, and we spent our courtship getting signatures.
Yeah, well, actually, we'll be talking to Dan Coleman, who's, again, he's running for the State House in District 27 in our next segment. But, yeah, I got to tell you, I live downtown, which is in that district, and, you know, the downtown in any big city, is always a very Democratic area. Phoenix is no exception. You know, I put up some Republican signs in my apartment, and I get a bunch of weird looks from my neighbors, you know. It's tough down there. All right, so what would your priorities be if you're elected to the state Senate?
Well, our priorities are pretty much the education system in LD 27. We have four separate school districts that are in our legislative district. And each of them, unfortunately, is failing on the Ames test. So if you looked at the 2011 results, I think that Levine, where my precinct actually is, is one of the highest, but they still only have a 68% pass rate. Or no, I'm sorry, 58. No, I'm sorry. It is 68% pass rate. Mm-hmm. Roosevelt, though, is only 57% are actually passing the Ames test. So that's third through eighth graders. And this is basic stuff like, can you read? Can you do enough math to work a cash register? You know, can you read the employee manual? These are things that are going to determine whether or not these kids are going to be able to graduate from high school. And when they graduate from high school, are they going to be able to work? Ideally, we would love for them to work in our community or go to college and then, you know, open stores in our community and really, you know, bring something back to the neighborhood. But unfortunately, it looks like, you know, we're just setting our kids up to just become another liability on the government because we're not giving them the skills that they need in order to go out and become contributing citizens. And I really find that deplorable.
Sure.
So that's the thing that I would really like to focus on is getting all of the schools up, and that the way that I had thought to do that is to turn over the failing public schools to successful charter school companies. And, you know, there are several charter schools that are succeeding in our district that are far succeeding, and they're pulling from exactly the same population of kids that the public schools are. So the demographics don't matter here. Everybody likes to say, oh, these kids are from a poor household. That has nothing to do with their ability to succeed.
So where do you come out on Proposition 204, which is that 1 cent, you know, added sales tax that's supposed to fund schools? Are you in favor of that or against it?
No, I am definitely against it. And I don't, there's absolutely no problem with the funding source of our schools. In fact, I would say that we could probably get by with quite a bit more because we could deal with about, you know, I would say a third of the administration costs that we have. You know, for example, in Roosevelt, only 48% of the $10,000 that we pay for each student in Roosevelt gets to them in the classroom. That's their teacher, that's their facility, that's their learning materials, that's everything. All the rest, the other 52% are going to administration and ground maintenance and all these programs that they've got going on that have nothing to do with the benefits of these kids. So, you know, and every year they come back and say, we want more, we need more, you know, it's all going to go to the kids. It never gets to the kids. It goes into the pockets of the administrators, and it never goes down past that top level. I want to cut off the top level completely, because with charter schools, the parents own the school. They're the ones who sit on the school board, and there's usually one or two administrators total, and they're paid by the parent company. So they do a lot more with a lot less. So I'm definitely no on 204.
Yeah, I actually went to a charter school when I was a kid up in Cave Creek. I wasn't aware that there were any charter schools in that area in South Phoenix.
Yeah, look how well you turned out.
perfect example. Thank you.
See? Well, Dan and I, and he'll tell you, Dan and I are actually not high school graduates. He went for 2 years, and I went for a year, and it was just useless because we went to public schools, and so I just went on to ASU and to Maricopa County. And I have 2 bachelor's degrees and a master's, and so does Dan. So, you know, that's the thing. Our public schools are so pathetic that they're totally not necessary for you to go on to college.
That's pretty interesting. Are you saying you went straight to college from after just a couple years of high school?
1 year of high school. I got my GED.
Wow.
I'm a high school dropout.
Yeah, technically.
I'm one of those statistics that everybody points to.
Yeah.
But I was bored out of my mind, and I was a special education student. Yeah. I am terrible dyslexic. I literally did ride the short bus. So I can laugh at those jokes and not get in trouble.
But you've got a very personal perspective on this whole issue. And
exactly.
I know you've got at least one. I've seen you bring a little baby to those meetings, so I know you've got kids, too.
Yeah, we've got 3 kids. We've got an 11-year-old who goes to Catholic school, and then we've got a 2-year-old and a 7-month-old, and I would love to send them to Eagle Academy, which is right down the street from us. It's an extremely successful charter school. So successful, in fact, they just opened a new campus that focuses on music. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is capitalism at work in our neighborhoods.
All right. So it sounds like education is your big priority. Are there any other things that you'd like to focus on or that you think are wrong with this great state of ours?
Oh, so many. Well, my husband really wants to focus on the budget, and I am wholeheartedly supportive of that. I really do believe that, you know, the state of Arizona, along with, unfortunately, everyone in our country and definitely our government, are addicted to credit. And I really think that it's time that we kick the habit. You know, we've been living far beyond our means.
So true.
As a nation.
Yeah.
you know, and with the idea that we're never, ever going to have to pay the bill. China's just going to disappear, you know, and they're not. And there will be a reckoning, and I would like to fix our debt before we fall off that cliff.
And, you know, it's a real cultural issue even. You know, it's a very broad cultural issue. I read that in Germany, for example, which, you know, doesn't have a lot of economic problems right now, the culture there is just not to take credit. You know, it's not to take loans. Everybody there has, you know, they never take out loans. They never make loans. They always use cash. They don't use credit cards.
Yep. We were talking about, I'm sure you'll talk with Dan about this whole Miranda troubles and notaries. In Germany, there's basically no such thing as a notary because to lie about your signature is completely unheard of. Whereas in Italy, which is right next door, there's a notary on every street corner because no one trusts anything that you put on paper. And it's just, and they're so close by, but yet there is a very different idea when it comes to the Latin cultures and then to the Germanic cultures. And even up in Sweden, when you get into those areas, they're very fiscally conservative as well.
Yeah, to me as a lawyer, that's very interesting.
They had to pickle their fish for forever, you know, just to have one meal in the winter. So they're very conservative.
All right, we've got about 1 minute here before we got to go to the break. And as I said before, we'll be talking to your husband, Dan Coleman, who's also running for office in the next segment. Yeah. So why don't you give the audience your final pitch here to pick you for the state Senate?
Well, as I said, all of the school districts in the LD 27 are failing, and Leah Landrum Taylor is asking for her 13th and 14th year in government. I really can't think of anybody else that should be held responsible for all those failures other than her. And I really hope that you vote for me so that I can get in there, and I will take care of my kids and your kids. And we'll make it a better place.
All right, we got to take a break here, Sarah Coleman, but I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. This is Jack Wilencheck on Legalese Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
NBC News Radio, I'm Paige Hopkins. The federal government has filed a $1 billion lawsuit against Bank of America claiming mortgage fraud. The allegations are against the bank's countrywide unit purchased during the financial meltdown. CNBC's Steve Leisman says not everybody thinks the suit is a good idea.
So what bankers are telling me, it's going to be a long time before a bank steps up and buys another bank at the urging of regulators. This is going to have a chilling effect. And you'll remember Barney Frank, I believe, yesterday released a statement asking the New York Attorney General's office not to prosecute these cases.
Stocks were lower today. The Dow was off 25. The Nasdaq lost 9 points, and the S&P was off 3. The Federal Reserve says more help is needed to boost growth and reduce unemployment. However, the Fed took no new action today. Mitt Romney's campaign says he still supports Indiana Senate candidate Richard Murdoch. Murdoch is drawing fire after saying that pregnancies resulting from rape are God's will. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio. Phoenix police arrest a convicted sex offender for performing fake medical exams on a teen at a Phoenix church where he worked as a volunteer.
The suspect would approach him and ask him to go into a locked room that was under construction there at this church.
A newborn javelina at the Tucson Wildlife Center. A motorist there found the animal near a busy intersection.
The javelina was in the road, and it would have been far better if the motorist had just moved it to the side of the road and waited for it to leave, because its mother was probably nearby.
Phoenix political pollster Jim Haynes doesn't think the race for president in Arizona is as close as some pollsters believe.
At the gut level, I think most political observers would agree that this is Romney's state to lose.
Mayor Scott Smith, please. Downtown Mesa, the future home of the new Barry Goldwater Library.
The goal is to open the library and archives in 2016. It's expected to attract 60,000 or so people a year.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic is a service of the 99-cent only stores. We've got an accident. Dobson Road at Chandler in Chandler. Also an accident off to the side, eastbound I-10, 75th Avenue. Look for another wreck, northbound I-17 at Northern. Another accident, northbound I-17 at New River. Halloween's around the corner, and 99-cent only stores is your first stop for sweet savings on candy, treats, and more. Go to the best Halloween party on your block by shopping 99-cent only stores first. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Hi, everybody. Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Everybody out enjoying this beautiful weather. We got the coolness now, mid to upper 80s through the end of the work week. Overnight lows, pretty chilly. Low 60s here in town, low 50s in our cooler valley spots. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we are at 83 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds. You're up to date.
Liberty Coin and Precious Metals lets me meet face-to-face with an expert who takes the time to know me and my investment needs. You can't get that kind of personal attention on the web or from a faraway company. I trust Liberty. Visit their Scottsdale store or call 877-888-8052. That's 877-888-8052. Liberty Coin and Precious Metals.
Liberty.
Are you interested in a consultation with Dr. Kondrat or one of his three-day programs? His three-day program is the best way to help you regain your vision loss. This comprehensive program includes an extensive diagnosis based on homeopathic principles, daily lectures on the essentials to improve your vision, and 3 days of intensive treatments. Take this important step now. Call 1-800-430-9328 to learn more about this special program. His three-day program is the best way to help you regain your vision loss. Call 1-800-430-9328.
Did you know that more than 65% of corporations on the New York Stock Exchange are using barter? In fact, more than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Think you know barter? Think again. With Premier Barter, the Valley's fastest-growing and most business-friendly barter company, you can gain access to a network of more than 40,000 companies. Through Premier Barter, you can expand your customer base and generate barter dollars, which can be spent through hundreds of companies locally and thousands of companies nationwide. Almost anything you can think of, things you're currently buying for cash, can be acquired with barter. Visit www.premierbarter.com. It will be the best business decision you ever make. 602-470-8020. That's 602-470-8020. More than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Call Premier Barter today. That's 602-470-8020. PremierBarter.com.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilczek filling in for Dennis Wilczek. And as I promised to you at the beginning of the show, we're talking to various candidates for offices across the great state of Arizona. We've talked to Paul Penzone, who's running for Maricopa County Sheriff. We just talked to Sarah Coleman, who's running in my very own district, LD 27, for the state Senate. And now we're talking to Sarah's husband, Dan Coleman, who's running.
How are you, sir?
Doing great, Dan. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Good. Dan is running for State House District, State House in District 27, and we just talked to your wife, Sarah, and she told us that she was the one who convinced you to run for office, and I told her what a terrible thing to do to somebody.
Well, I just got the last 5 minutes of your interview. I was out at the ranch getting some horses out, but yeah, I ran for representative 6 years ago. I ran for Justice of the Peace 2 years ago, and you know, I thought I'd done my bit for the put my money where my mouth was, but she wanted to run this year. I was looking for a little help, so I figured I'd jump in and give it one more shot. So here we are.
I see that you've got a background in economics and mechanical engineering, so you're a pretty bright guy.
I try.
Tell me, what would your priorities be if you make it into the House?
I've worked with and for the state of Arizona on so many different levels for the last 15 years or so. I own a computer consulting company, and we sell services to the state, the county, and the cities, amongst many other clients. And I was a chief information officer for a division of the DES for a year as a consultant several years ago. And the one thing that has always bothered me about the state is just the absolute waste of resources. What most people don't realize is that the budget of the state of Arizona is, you know, roughly $26 billion. Of that, only about $6 or $7 billion in any given year is appropriated by the legislature. The rest of it comes from the federal government, from grants, from various other sources, from off-books tax revenues like Prop 204 for things that are outside of the legislature's control. The legislature has very little say on what actually gets spent in the legislature. So as a result, when you have a budget crisis, they can only cut a third of it. And it's a disgrace. What really needs to happen, and if elected to the legislature, one of the first things I will do is offer up an amendment to the state constitution that every dollar spent in the state has to be procured through the regular process of the legislature. In other words, every dollar goes through a hearing and gets an up or down vote every year for every program statewide. And I think you'll find the large number of useless programs will go away and a large number of needed programs will grow.
Hmm. So if I understand you right, are you saying that you would offer an amendment that would say the state can't take this kind of federal money?
No, the state can certainly take federal money, but the state has to approve it. The people have to approve it.
Hmm.
Right now, for many of these programs, it never goes through the legislature. An agency is set up because of a federal grant. Now, Ronald Reagan said it best, that a federal agency is the closest, or an agency of the government is the closest thing to immortality that we have on this planet. These agencies get set up under grant programs, and they stay there forever.
Right. So you take issue with that. You want to get rid of you want more state control over the federal money that's coming in.
Well, there are 68 departments, boards, commissions, and agencies that report to the governor. 68. I don't know anybody in business that has 68 direct reports. That needs to be streamlined. That needs to get down to something around 10. At the most, maybe 15. A lot of these commissions, boards can be combined. A lot of these agencies can be combined. A lot of the dollars that they spend can be combined. One thing that most people don't know is we change our governors and our legislators every 2 years or every 4 years, but the deputy directors and the assistant directors in many of these agencies never change. They're there for generations.
Right.
So things never change, but we expect things to change. That's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Well, if people want a different result, I guess they can elect you, right?
Well, that's what we've been saying for years. I haven't done it yet, but, you know, I'm always hopeful.
Who are you running against, by the way, down there?
I'm a Republican. I'm the only Republican on the ballot. There are two seats. I'm running against the Democrat, Ruben Gallego, and Catherine Miranda, and the Green Party candidate is Angel Torres.
That's right, Catherine Miranda. So what's going on there? My understanding is that that lawsuit against her was dismissed.
Yes, it was dismissed on Tuesday night as being untimely.
Right.
And they didn't rule on the merits of the case.
Exactly,
frankly,
yeah.
I don't think the judge wanted to rule on the merits of the case. I was there in the courtroom for the evidentiary hearing. I was disgusted watching a sitting legislature take the Fifth Amendment about who signed her nomination petition.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I was more disgusted that she put her husband and her stepdaughter through that trial as well and made them take the Fifth Amendment about whether or not they notarized the documents, but that's another story. I mean, we deserve better.
Yeah, what was the issue there? She was accused of having somebody else sign on what exactly?
The genesis of the case was that when she handed in her $5 clean election contributions, a certain percentage of them came back as having signatures not matched. And I don't know the exact percentage, but the county recorder compares signatures on file with signatures on the forms individually, and somewhere around 25 to 30% of the signatures did not match. So the Secretary of State commissioned an independent forensic expert to review not only signatures on those clean election forms, but all of her election paperwork. And then they found that the signatures on the nominating papers that she sent in, not the petitions that people signed, but the actual document that says, my name is Catherine Miranda and I want to run for this office, that signature was not signed by the same person that signed all the other documents that have been signed by her in the last 6 years. They said that unequivocally, that this is a different hand wrote this.
Right.
I didn't get that information until the end of September, and Terry Rapp from the party also didn't get it about that time, and he filed a case shortly thereafter. I don't know how it could have been timely, because the state has, and you have 10 days from the election to file the suit, but if there's fraud and deception, how do you know that you need to file a suit?
Right.
But the ruling is what the ruling is.
Yeah, typically a statute of limitations is, you know, I as a lawyer, you know, can explain this. It's usually told, you're absolutely right, when there's fraud or deception, but Yeah, it's, well, you know, whenever you sue about an election or anything political, it's a very tough thing for the courts to deal with, you know,
right.
Anyway.
Right. I mean, the court doesn't want to be in a position of taking somebody off the ballot who's already on it. Interestingly enough, the Tom Ryan was Miranda's attorney, and he was arguing the exact same thing in his defense for which he was arguing against in the Mitchell case.
I was just going to say, it seems like there's a lot of lawsuits.
He won the Miranda case, but he lost the Mitchell case with the same argument.
Seems like there's a lot of lawsuits this election cycle. But you know, we got about 2 minutes here before we go to the break, so I'm going to give you the opportunity, Dan, to tell the audience why they should pick you over Catherine Miranda and whoever the heck else is running against you.
Well, you know, I heard the last half of my wife's speech. I agree with almost everything she said. I agree with everything she said. I have to agree with everything she said because she's my wife, but also because she's right. We need a lot of reform in education. We need to work on getting dollars into the classroom. We need to work on making public education work for the students as opposed to the public education bureaucracy. We need to work to make state government work for us, not work for the government. I'm an honest man. I've been in business all my life. I want to be elected to represent my people. I believe that we get the government we deserve, and I deserve better than the government we have. I deserve better than Miranda. I deserve better than the other cabal of Democratic politicians in the South of Phoenix that have left my part of the city behind. Phoenix has had an enormous boom over the last two decades, but South Phoenix doesn't. We lack development. We lack infrastructure. We lack good schools. We lack even average schools. But yet we elect the same people year after year, the same families. Landrum's been in there for 12 years. The Mirandas have been in there for a generation. It's disheartening. And if you want to change, if you want tired of the usual suspects, vote for us. Vote for me.
Absolutely. All right, Dan, I want to thank you for coming on the show. That's Dan Coleman, who's running for State House in District 27. And when we come back from the break, we'll be talking to Paul Boyer, who's running for State House in District 20. This is Jack Wilczek on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Hi, I'm Steve Cates, host of A Call to Rights here on KFNX. If you haven't heard our show every Saturday from noon to 2, you're missing out on the greatest in news, commentary, and guests discussing your rights under our Constitution. The latest updates on how to protect your rights from an out-of-control government. And you'll learn our most important motto, how never to be a victim. If you're concerned with the direction our country is going, tune in and learn how to help take it back. Take back your rights on A Call to Rights with me, Steve Cates, Saturdays at noon on KFNX.
Propositions can be confusing, written at times by lawyers for and by special interests. At first, they might seem right for Arizona, but many times they are not. And that's true with Prop 117. Vote no on Prop 117. You have been told this proposition would cap annual growth of locally assessed property to 5% over the previous year. Sounds good, doesn't it? No, it's not good. Prop 117 can raise your property taxes. Proposition 117 shifts property tax burdens to homeowners, retirees, those on fixed incomes, and to local businesses. Don't be fooled. Vote no on Prop 117. State Senator Jeff Hill says he is outraged by Prop 117. Property taxes in Arizona are going down. Prop 117 will force them to rise. Prop 117 cripples basic and emergency services. Find out more about the truth. Go to StopProp117.com. Vote no on Prop 117. Paid for by Truth and Concerns on Prop 117.
It's the third annual Scottsdale Super Expo coming November 3rd and 4th at Westworld of Scottsdale. It's a family weekend of fun showcasing the Home and Garden Show, Health and Fitness Expo, food and wine tastings, over 50 adoptable pets, and a car show benefiting the Arizona Animal Welfare League. Come spend the day at the Scottsdale Super Expo November 3rd and 4th at Westworld. Discount tickets and parking information at exposaz.com. That's exposaz.com.
I was gambling in Havana. I took a little risk.
Welcome back to the show. This is Jack Wilczek on Legalese. And we've come to our final segment of interviewing upcoming candidates for the elections here. Just talked to Dan Coleman, who along with his wife Sarah Coleman are running for the State House, State Senate, District 27. Now I'm going to talk to Paul Boyer, who's running for the State House in District 20. Paul, are you on the phone?
I am.
Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thanks.
All right. You know, I looked at your bio a little bit on the website, and I can tell you're just a generally conservative guy, but maybe you want to give some more detail on where you come out and some of the issues. Tell me, what are the big priorities for you?
Well, number one is definitely economic growth. And I'd like to continue the good work that I started down there. Now, when I say I started, I was a staffer. I was a policy advisor and the official spokesman for House Majority for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And while I was there, we passed, I'm sure you covered it quite well, the jobs bill. What that did is it phased down the corporate income tax, or it's currently phasing it down from 7% to ultimately 4.98%. Phases down the Class 1 business personal property tax and just a reduction on tax on investment income and a few other things. But overall, we've seen a huge increase in private sector activity since that has passed. So I'd like to continue good work like that.
Sure. You're running for the House in District 20. Now, where is District 20?
It's Glendale and North Phoenix, so 67th Avenue to I-17, Dunlap up to Bell, and then I-17 to Cave Creek Road East, and then 101 south to Thunderbird.
All right. And who are you running against?
Well, there's two Democratic challengers, Jackie Thrasher and Tanya Norwood.
Right. All right. So clearly you're a pro-business guy. I don't know if you want to get into any more specifics on that. You talked about the jobs bill, which is a good thing you did. Is there anything else that you've got on the tip of your head and the tip of your tongue that you want to tell the audience about?
Sure. I'd like to, before I do anything, though, I'm looking at a reduction in the individual income tax.
Mm.
But before I'd move on that, before I would sponsor a bill, we have what's called the Joint Legislative Budget Committee. There are partisan budget staff, and they crunch the numbers. They look to see what kind of fiscal impact any piece of legislation would have on the state's economy. And so before I would even consider doing that, I would like to get a fiscal note from them. But given that anywhere from 90 to 97% of all businesses in Arizona are small business owners, and of that number, about 80% are S corporations, or they file through their individual income tax, that would be a huge boon for all of our, actually not all, but most of our business owners in Arizona.
Right. I think my producer probably saw somewhere on your website that you say that Arizona must be prepared for another economic downturn because of the national debt. Do you want to explain what you mean by that statement?
Well, I mean, I think we've all been paying attention. We're looking at $16 trillion in debt right now, and we're also looking at the fiscal cliff, which is major tax increases if the Bush tax cuts do not continue, which, given Congress and the way they have had a hard time working together, I think everybody is expecting that to increase, you know, the taxes, that is. The new taxes from Obamacare that will be implemented in 2013, last I checked, there's about 21 new taxes, and just the defense cuts if the sequestration goes through. There was a George Mason study suggesting that we'll lose 36,000 direct jobs and about 14,000 indirect jobs. So we're looking at about 50,000 jobs that we could lose in the state of Arizona alone. So that's something we have to prepare for. Right now, our debt service is our seventh largest budgetary unit. We spend about $300 million a year on that. And so I'd like to see us get that down moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I see that you've got some positions on the Second Amendment. You think that I don't know if you think this, or this is just an issue that you've raised somewhere on your website, maybe, that gun shows should be required to do background checks. Do you have a position on that?
Well, I think it's my understanding that they don't currently have those, and I think that we should keep the system the way it is. I think it's working just fine.
Right. Would you be in favor of a ban against assault weapons?
Dude, no. In fact, I'm looking at picking up an AR-15.
Really?
Really. My buddy's going to sell me one for pretty cheap.
Okay. All right. Good answer. All right. Clearly, you're kind of a numbers guy here. You've got some strong positions on taking care of the deficit. Your website mentions something about the structural deficit. I don't know if you want to explain to the audience what you mean by that.
Sure. The structural deficit, and I think everybody understands this because everyone has their family budget, and the long and the short of it is you can't spend more than you bring in. So when we're spending more, our expenditures than we have in revenues, that leads to a chronic structural imbalance, which leads to chronic cash deficits. And so when I was there, we had about a $3 billion structural deficit. Mm. We've actually fixed that. In fact, we had about $3.6 billion in deficit my 3 years there, and that was 2009 to 11. And we're now looking at a small surplus, in fact, with $400 million in our rainy day fund.
You know, when you said structural deficit, I thought maybe you're referring to the fact that the state sold off the Capitol building and all that kind of thing.
Oh, that's a separate issue.
And that's a big issue too, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, and to be honest with you, we literally had bad and worse options at that point. You know, the question is, do you cut education? Do you cut public safety? Do you cut health care? Do you sell off the state buildings? Well, again, when there's no good options, I mean, you do the least of the worst possible.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair. All right, on the border security issue, where do you come out on that? Do you think the states should be challenging the federal government or just step aside, let the federal government do what it wants to do? What are your positions? What's your position on that and SB 1070, all that good stuff?
Well, the first thing, we need to secure the border. I was the only spokesman at the House when 1070 was passed, and as you can imagine, I fielded a lot of media calls on that issue in particular. I do support it. I think it's common sense legislation. I think it's been given a bad rap in the media. And just to break it down real briefly, you know, there has to be a lawful encounter. In other words, an individual has to be speeding. They have to, you know, reckless driving. In other words, there has to be a reason why the officer pulled them over. If through the series of questions the officer thinks they might not be here legally, then they can ask the question. And then we gave the officer discretion. So, for example, if there's a robbery in progress and they realize, you know what, this isn't terribly critical for me to be here, they go after the bank robber.
Yeah.
However, if they feel that, you know what, this is an MS-13 gang member, this is way more important for me to be here, then they call ICE and wait for ICE to pick that person up.
Yeah, I can tell you've got a little prepared speech there from your days answering phone calls, huh?
Sure.
Must have been a lot of those. All right. I see it. Yeah, you got some positions on education. Not surprisingly, most politicians do. You work for Mesa Public Schools, but you're a big supporter of charter schools. I think one of the other candidates we just talked to, Sarah Coleman, is also big on that issue. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, I support school choice, whether it's public or private. I mean, here at Mesa, we have so much school choice. It's amazing to me. You know, when I first got here, I thought, well, there's a big, you know, rivalry. But you know what? No matter what school it is, I think that a parent should have the right to send their kids to based on their particular needs and interests. And if it's charter, great. If it's private, great. If it's public, even better. Hey, why not?
All right. You said that you're for lower tax rates, but is that realistic in hard economic times with reduced revenues?
I think it's necessary, especially in low economic times. You know, and we've been seeing here in Arizona an uptick in new businesses because of our low taxes, reduced regulations, and providing predictability here in the state of Arizona for business owners. In fact, there's so many different, CNN Money has said that Arizona is the number one state in the country to start a new business. The ACA has said that since the jobs bill has passed, the one I worked on, that they've seen a 350% increase in projects they're working on with an increase from the private sector. CEO Magazine said Arizona's in the top 10 best states for doing business. And so, obviously, what we're doing is working, but the worst thing we can do in a fiscal crisis, or even fiscal uncertainty, is to raise taxes.
Hmm. Are health care, public safety, and education truly 90% of the state budget?
Yes. Actually, closer to 91%.
Wow. That's pretty incredible.
It is. And most people don't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But now hopefully our people listening to the audience do. I've got a couple minutes here before we go to the break, so I'm going to go ahead and give you the same opportunity that I've given all the people who came on the show today to tell the audience why they should elect you over whoever the heck is running against you.
Sure. Well, you mentioned it. Of those top three cost drivers, education, healthcare, and public safety, it does comprise about 91% of all state spending. I've worked in or am currently working in two out of three of those. So that coupled with my experience on House Majority staff, I've worked for two different House speakers, Speaker Kirk Adams, his first 2 years, and then the current speaker, Andy Tobin, whereas most freshmen who come in, they spend the first year learning the process, let alone the policy. But then the next year, they have to run for re-election. So even though this is my first time running for political office, which I think is actually helping me out, there's a lot of people upset with the incumbency right now. I do have 6 years of experience under my belt, and I'm looking forward to representing Legislative District 20 honorably and tirelessly if the voters decide to send me.
Sounds good. All right. I want to thank you for coming on the show. That's Paul Boyer, from who's running for State House in District 20. And I want to thank all our guests today, Paul Pinzone, Sarah Coleman, Dan Coleman. This is Jack Wilczek on Legalese Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Investors, did you know that people are coming from all over the nation to buy and sell real estate in your area? People are flipping houses and making money just down your street. Learn how to flip houses and put $5,000 to $15,000 in your pocket over the next 30 days. Call now, 800-690-4319, to reserve your seat in this class with three convenient dates in the Phoenix area. Spend a few hours with us and learn how to get in, get out, and get rich. We'll teach you how to buy, hold, and sell investment properties with little to no money down. This event is worth thousands of dollars, but free to the first 50 people to call. You risk nothing, but have everything to gain. This intensive real estate class is coming to the Phoenix area October 29th, 30th, and 31st. Call 800-690-4319 to secure your seat and receive a free MP3 player and tons of valuable take-home materials. Change your life with this free event and learn how to flip a home in 30 days. Call 800-690-4319. You don't want to miss this. Brought to you by Freedom Through RealEstateWorkshop.com. 800-690-4319.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. Cave Creek, Phoenix, the home of Laura Ingraham, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. KFNX News Time. It's 5 o'clock.